Welcome to another Carlo and Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, just a little bit on what we've been talking about recently in regards to not much happening about sport. Well, there's plenty happening now.
There's a lot going on, isn't there? There's a lot of things starting up, and I thought there's interesting things happening around the world that not everyone will know about. We talk about the normal stuff, but I wanted to talk about things that just have caught our interest.
Yep.
And here's a question for you. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Okay. So you won't know there was a character in there called the Mountain?
No.
No, okay. Do you ever watch any of the strong, like World's Strongest Man competitions?
In the old Channel 9 sports show.
Like the international
one? Trucks and stuff like that, yeah.
Well, there's a guy who's in the world. He was the World's Strongest Man in 2017. His name is Hafþór Bjornsson.
Can you spell that?
Iceland. Yes, I can. Hafþór Bjornsson. I did look up how to pronounce it too.
Good.
But he's Iceland, and Iceland have a very strong record of having strong men and women. But this guy has just broken the world record for the deadlift, and he deadlifted in Iceland. Obviously, they're in isolation, but he deadlifted 501 kilograms.
Wow, that's powerlifting, isn't it?
That's one of the lifts in powerlifting. And in 2016, a guy called Eddie Hall, who was the 216 strongman and is British, here in Melbourne in Australia, broke the world record. It was the first person to ever deadlift 500 kilos. And him and Hafþór do not get on. They are rivals. And so this guy wanted to break his record. So there's been a lot going on because Eddie Hall saying, no, it wasn't in a real competition, it doesn't count. But Hafþór had an international judge who happens to be from Iceland there. They streamed it all. They weighed all of the discs. So they showed it was all above board.
All legit.
And this guy is 6'9", and he weighed in at 206 kilograms.
Makes you look like a vibe.
Exactly. And so it's just, if you watch it, have a look. Anyone listening, if you haven't seen it, look on YouTube. And he goes, this guy cannot be human. But 206, 6'9". And he's not a big fat guy. He's like just a monster of a man. Amazing.
And like when they lift it, it's up around about hip level, is it?
The deadlift is basically lifting that weight, so a dead weight off the floor, to a standing position. So it's not lifting it to your chest. It's not Olympic lifting. And obviously it can be quite a slow lift because you're overcoming a lot of load. But interestingly, I thought he actually made it look easy. And so is there more? But the interesting one after that too was that he then challenged Eddie Hall to a boxing match. So this Eddie Hall is he's a shorter guy, but he weighs nearly 400 pounds. And this guy's 6'9", and like 206, so what's he, 450, 60 pounds. Now, they are boxing next year in Las Vegas.
Is it on the undercard for the...
No, so what? This is interesting. Here's two massive men who aren't boxers will fight, and this will make more money and more interest than anything ever, I guarantee it.
Wow. Now, talking about boxing, Mike Tyson... Evander Holyfield, number 3.
Unbelievable. There was a video going around of Mike Tyson doing a workout, and it is scary. Like, he's 53, and this video, he is growling and grunting and hitting this other guy who's all padded up. And the speed that he moves and the force that he's contacting his hits is just, it's scary. And then he says at the end of the video, I'm back. And so this has sort of had a ripple through the boxing world. But at the same time, Evander Holyfield was also saying he was making a comeback. And so what's happened over the last 24 hours is they've agreed to have a rematch for charity, apparently. But remember what happened the last time they had a fight?
Well, I'm sure we'll hear about it from you.
I knew that joke had to come out.
Take a chump off of this, will you?
Well, 1996... and they fought for the second time. Holyfield won the first fight, and in this one, everyone remembers it when, of course, Mike Tyson bit part of his ear off. And so now at 57 and 53, and these guys are in incredible shape. It really, when you see them, you think, wow, that is unbelievable. They are going to come back and fight. And interesting, Mike Tyson, really the boxing world is abuzz because people are saying, the shape that he's in. Yeah. And they're sort of saying, can a 53-year-old bloke knock off the best fighters in the world right now?
I've got a question for you. Mike Tyson, 53, Evander Holyfield, 57. Would they be primed to do Rocky 17?
Well, it's a bit like that story, isn't it? But because people are saying, is it right? Should they be allowing older people to fight? And you think, well, the shape, like, seriously, I mean, it's always a bit deceiving because you see them on their own. But seriously, they are in great physical shape. And Tyson, for example, if you watch the video, like, he is just ferocious. And the speed at which he moves... I was really surprised.
Look, it begs the question, is he coming to finish off the job on the air?
Do the other one.
Yeah.
He's still hungry, obviously, but he said in that the gods of war have awakened him and he's ready to go back to fight. And you think, because obviously Mike Tyson's had some pretty up and down times and some pretty dark times, so it seems that he's got himself back to where he wants to be, which is a nice thing, but... I reckon there'd be a lot of scared.
So, how would it rate with the Rumble and the Jungle and the Thriller in Manila? What we're going to call this one?
I don't know, but you think? See, this is the thing now. Like the way media is, and it's so instant. Like we're talking about something that's happened in the last 48 hours, and it's worldwide sensation. So imagine by the time these guys get to fight, how much media there would be, and how much, like, imagine the viewing public is going to be monster.
But what do they pay, like, $200-$300 just to watch it on Foxtel and stuff like that?
The amount of money that comes in for pay TV, especially fights, is monstrous. And that's why these guys make so much money when they do fight. But anyway, these guys are saying it's for charity. So I'm sure they'll make enough to keep them going as well.
Look, I'm not sure how interested you are on our next subject, but... I think there was a few the cars they're driving in the F1. What's happening?
F1, you're saying whether I'm interested or not.
In Formula 1. Tell us your story. What's happening with Sebastian Vettel and Daniel Ricciardo?
What interests me is Daniel Ricciardo, because Daniel Ricciardo he's a good Australian guy, as most of you people would know, but he was with Red Bull, and then he took a big contract to move to Renault, which was... Renault had been struggling for a long time and were trying to make their way back to being one of the top teams. He moved to them 2 years ago. Now, of course, he raced last season. This season hasn't really happened. And so normally we would be in the midst of the F1 season, but it's not the case. And so already people are changing teams. And the interesting thing will be F1 will start and race some 220, and these guys will still race for their current teams, but we now know they're moving to a new team. Now, the thing started when Sebastian Vettel, four-time world champion and was with Red Bull...
He's German, isn't he?
He's a German guy. He moved to Ferrari a while back. Now, he hasn't really set the world on fire. I mean, he's still one of the better guys. But last year, they picked up a young guy, Charles Leclerc, who was just second year out, so a rookie. Now, he won some races for Ferrari last year and basically did better than Vettel. And when it came to contracts, basically Vettel and Ferrari went their separate ways. Now, that created a vacancy. There was a lot of talk that Daniel Ricciardo, being Australian but also Italian, would go to Ferrari. Now, they took Carlos Sainz, who's a young Spanish guy. Carlos Sainz then, of course, left McLaren, and Daniel Ricciardo's been snapped up by them. So in 2021, Daniel Ricciardo will now race for McLaren, who... have produced many world champions over the years and are now getting strong again. Carlos Sainz will go to Ferrari, and poor Sebastian Vettel might actually, he might be retiring or he might not have a...
How old is he?
Good question. I reckon Sebastian Vettel's in his, like, mid-30s in there. So
he's in his peak age, really.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the guys now in the field are actually quite young. There's a lot of younger guys, like Charles Leclerc, who's only 21. Max Verstappen, who's the big driver for Red Bull, is only 21. Lando Norris, who's with McLaren, again, 20, 21-year-old guys. So there's a lot of young guys in there. And then there's Kimi, what's his name? I've forgotten now. Anyway, he races for, he was for Ferrari. He's 40. He's the oldest guy in the field. But people now are saying, hey, Sebastian Vettel might be out of Formula 1.
Well, back when the Adelaide Grand Prix was on, the average age back then was like 30-odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and it has been. And the thing with that, I mean, the Formula 1, that there's a lot of money involved, and also obviously you have to be very skilled, but there's a lot of these teams have driving academies, and they take in young go-kart racers and they train them up. And so they've got a whole stable of these really young racers. And the other thing, if you don't have money, you're not going to get a Formula One seat. So typically these guys are very good racers, but they also have good backing. So they can bring millions of dollars to a team, and that's part of the negotiations. If you had no money and no backing, there's no way you'd get a race in Formula One.
Well, just on another sport, baseball, obviously, is close to my heart, but I was reading where they're looking at having the Australian Baseball League season this year, but without Americans, and I was reading where what the teams would look like without the Americans, and the deficiency for the Giants would be in pitching, because the great majority of the starting pitching were Americans, but there are possibilities for others to come in, and I think that if it just went non-American, Adelaide would still be right up there.
Well, they've been good over the last couple of years, haven't they?
Well, last year, especially last season, yeah.
And so there's a Korean team and a New Zealand team
basically, but the Korean team is based in Geelong.
So have they stayed here though?
Well, I mean,
they've gone home.
Well, they went home, but obviously they have to come here and shelter for 2 weeks before they can get out there and start playing. It all depends on what's happening with the distancing, social distancing, but I think that won't be too big a problem, because it's not like the Australian teams have to travel over to Korea. And New Zealand-Australian borders are looking like opening up in the next couple of months.
But we're seeing here, even with the footy, you know, like SA and WA are saying they're not allowed, if teams are going to come or we leave and come back, you must quarantine. So is that going to have the same impact on the baseball? Like, will they have to play in a certain place? I mean, because if they're travelling, they're going to have that period of time when they come back when they're going to have to isolate.
Well, they're talking about 3 months, the current situation with the borders. So in 3 months' time, the Australian Baseball League wouldn't have started by then. So I'm presuming that the borders will be, the restrictions will be lifted to a certain degree to allow that. The trouble with the Adelaide Crows and Port Power is it's still too early, because we've got the colder months ahead, and there is a little bit of, and they're scared that, the coronavirus might rear its ugly head again in the colder months. So that's why the borders haven't closed up at this stage. But 3 months down the track, the AFL season will be well progressed by then, and it really won't matter so much. But the cricket and the baseball will start coming into their season. So, I did hear about they're looking at a couple of tests at LA level, with India. So that's more so because it's a overseas team coming in. But all my mouth says that the borders between New Zealand and Australia look like the first to operate safely.
Well, New Zealand have now got zero COVID cases. We have. Maybe just we can travel between SA and New Zealand.
Well, it'd be cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to the opportunity, if it goes ahead next season, of my wife and I spending a week in Auckland to watch the baseball when they're due to play in Auckland, to make up for the trip we missed going to New Zealand earlier this year.
Yes, well, we're the same, so I don't think I'll be going for the baseball there.
Oh, but you loved it so much.
I did, but I don't think I'll travel all the way. In fact, I'm going to South Island rather than North Island.
Yeah, well, just quickly, the SNFL, starting their season in June, probably about 3-4 weeks away, and the rumour is that all four games will be played over a weekend at Adelaide Oval, which will be vacant. They're talking about a 14-game season where all of the eight teams play each other twice and then finals. Obviously, with the restrictions that come down with the AFL with reserve teams, the Port Power and the Crows won't have teams in the SNFL, so it'll be an 18 league.
Yeah, and that's an interesting. I mean, the Crows don't bother me too much because they are not technically part of the SNFL, but I mean, Port Adelaide have been forever. So that's probably a big loss, I imagine, for their supporters not to be part of the SNFL.
Well, just to be mischievous, last year was their 149th year. Does that mean they didn't achieve the 150 because they're not playing this year?
Well, that's going to be that's what I think is sad for them. I know that you're not a Port supporter, but
how could you tell?
Well, what a surprise. But I do feel a bit sorry for them, because they have been an integral part of the league, and now AFL have made a choice which has actually kept them out of it. Well, it's not fair to them.
No, I understand that. And just one more little issue is in regards to, they're talking about the Power and the Crows AFL team's been relocated to perhaps the Gold Coast or Brisbane.
Yeah, apparently.
And does that mean that it'll be the first showdown not played in Adelaide?
I think it might be.
It might be.
Yeah. Do you reckon they'll play those showdowns straight away, though?
Don't know. Who knows until we see.
It looks like there will be a showdown in Gold Coast, not here in Adelaide.
Yeah, well, so ends another Carlo and Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.